on heaven's bright shore. I look forward to seeing my mama on heaven's bright shore. No more dying. What a thing. I do my prayer walk every night, and I think of, I walk past that old farmhouse where I grew up that my mom and daddy bought in 1952. I think of all those times. My mama, all her prayers for me. She would not let me stay in bed on Sunday morning. She'd drag me out of bed and wire me out with a switch if I acted like I wasn't going to go to church. My. I'd say, Mom, I don't want to go. I'll wear you out, she'd say. And off we'd go. I thank God for her insistence, her instruction, her love. I remember all the times I was kind of a, it was kind of Tom the troubled teen there for a few years. Nobody laughed at that, but I'd come in sometimes at 2 a.m. in the morning. See, my daddy worked away in Chicago, and man, I thought I had the run of the place. But my mama never missed a night. I'd come in late. I'd come in at 2 a.m., walk in that door just before I'd reach the steps. Is that you, Tom? Is that you? Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 2. The context here is Pharaoh had instructed all the midwives for the Hebrew women to kill the male babies of every Hebrew that they delivered. And this is a story of Jochebed, the mother of Moses, and when she hid out Moses. In Exodus 2 and verse 1 it says, "And there went a man out of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's bank, brink rather. And his sister stood afar off," that would have been Miriam, "to which what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.' Then said his sister," that's Miriam again, "said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?' And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, 'Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages.' And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son, and she called his name Moses. And she said, 'Because I drew him out of the water.'" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful today for every mother and every tear that they've cried and every pain that they've felt for their children, Lord. And Lord, we want to honor them today, Lord. And you tell us to honor our fathers and our mothers. Well, today we're going to focus on all the mothers here today, Lord. Bless them and help them and strengthen them, Lord. And hold me up as I bring this message, Lord, to the glory of God, Lord, according to your word. And I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' holy name. Amen. So here we have the story of the birth of Moses. And Moses' father was Amram, and Moses' sister, Miriam, was probably about 11 or 12 years old, maybe an early teen at the time Moses was born. It appears that according to the folks that I read, that Aaron was probably about 3 years old at this event. And Moses' mother, it says, was a Levite named Jochebed. About Jochebed, the Bible says this in verse 2, "And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child in." Sounding a lot like Noah's Ark, isn't it? They're both a type of Jesus Christ. You notice this ark she put Moses in was covered also, because it talks about Pharaoh, the maiden opening it here. But she put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. Anybody know what flags are? When I was a little boy, I don't know, I didn't look it up, but when I was a little boy, my grandma, Holy Holt, lived down on the corner from where I live now. And out in front there were those big tall lilies and reeds that grew in the ditches. And I remember as a boy, they were over my head, and I remember my grandma calling them flags. So that's all I remember about that term. It was a term from the last generation. No, don't know if it's still in use today. But it says, and his sister, Miriam, here, stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh. Now, if you're listening to this, you need to get it in your head that God had set this whole deal up. God was right in the middle of all this. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, there it is, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? Looks like this was a suggestion by Miriam. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go. And the maid went and called the child's mother, Jochebed. My. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. I'd like to focus a little bit this morning on verse 9. It says, and Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it. Now listen, one day, all you mamas, God is going to give you your wages for all that you've done as a mother. I think that's a wonderful thing. You know, I would not be behind this pulpit today if not for a godly mother. I would hazard to guess that many in this room would not be here serving God in church today if it had not have been for a godly mother. My mother was a praying mother. She was a prayer warrior. She'd kneel by her bedside, as the song said, and she'd pray. And her mother, my grandma Ida Gabbard, was also a prayer warrior. I've seen her by her bedside, kneeling by her bedside in prayer. And I was told by Bev Hankins, and Bev Hankins' mother, Dorothy Farrell, was my mama's double first cousin. They said that would be my great-grandmother, said she was a prayer warrior too. A lot of praying going on. And with my crowd, it took a lot of praying. A lot of prayers. A lot of praying. But just what does God have to say about motherhood? In Proverbs 31:27, King Lemuel said, she looketh well to the ways of her household. And you know, it takes time, and it takes patience, and it takes effort to build godly character and develop godly character in your children. It just don't come automatically. The Bible says foolishness is in the heart of a child. It takes time to teach a daughter. To teach a daughter the virtues of a Christian girl. The same for a son. To do right and to live right and to be just in his dealings. And to work and provide. I guess one of the most important virtues of a godly mother, I'd say, would be faith. The Bible says that it was by faith that Jochebed, the mother of Moses, hid the child. You know, and that took a lot of courage. Her faith to do what she did, and perhaps the angel of the Lord revealed to her what to do, because you can see God all over this story. But that faith took courage. It took sacrifice. It took great strength of character to do that. And many of the greatest men of God throughout history achieved their greatness through the nurturing and prayers of a godly mother. One day a preacher was preaching on Samuel, and Samuel was such a man of strength and all his virtue and character, and said after the service a woman came up to him and said, "Well, you know, there's not many Samuels anymore, are there?" And the preacher said, "Yes, and there are not many Hannahs either." That was Samuel's mother. Your child will be a reflection many times of what you are. So let's look at Jochebed here for a minute and see just who she was. It says Jochebed lived in it was a time of cruel slavery, and Pharaoh had given an order to the midwives that they should kill every Jewish baby boy born in the land. Excuse me. So Jochebed set the example here that when the laws of man is in opposition to the laws of God, you need to stick with your God. Stick with the Word of God. That's becoming difficult to do in the age we live in. But Jochebed hid her baby for 3 months and disobeyed the law of the king. And there's a lot of things we're going to have to man up at with as a church with the political situation the way it is. And I'm not going to go there. But the current philosophy today, that's redundant, is it? Current then today? The current philosophy is that public schools should raise your children. Well, the Bible admonishes parents to train up a child in the way that he should go. What did somebody put on Facebook? Don't send your kids to let the Romans educate your children, and then have Caesar educate your children and not expect them to come home as Romans, because that's what we see what is happening with higher education today and the philosophy that is going against the Word of God and what you've taught that child at home many times. The schools say that they operate in the capacity of the parent. There's a term I remember, a legal term called locus parentis. That means the school stands in place of the parent. God never intended the world to raise your children. That's your responsibility. You need to take that responsibility back. But let me move on. Jochebed had a higher calling than the law of Pharaoh. And if you're a mother here today, you have a higher calling than the society that we live in today. Like Jochebed, you need to keep your children as best as you can from the wickedness of this world. And Jochebed took Moses and placed him in an ark, a type of Christ, just as the one Noah built was a type of Christ, and bring that child up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. A fellow named William Gladstone once said, "I've known 95% of the world's great men, and in my time, 87% of those great men have been followers of the Bible." My. First of all, Jochebed taught Moses the right God to worship. See, when he went over to Pharaoh's daughter, they worshiped many gods. Pharaoh worshiped Ra, the sun god, and they had many gods. But Jochebed taught Moses that his God was Jehovah, the Lord, our God. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He wasn't going to accept their gods and their culture. Moses was taught not to be connected with false gods. She taught him to look to the eternal instead of the temporal. Moses was taught not to be connected with false gods. And the Bible says Moses esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than all Egypt had to offer. Jochebed taught Moses that one day he would be accountable to God. And so what are you teaching your children today? If their faith is strong enough, they can handle no matter what education puts out. I went to college in the 70s, and I had to deal with a lot of that then. I was in college in Miami, Florida, and I was on the judo team. And in judo, you came into the ring, and they had a picture of Jigoro Kano. He was a founder of Kodokan Judo. And everyone was supposed to kneel and bow to that fella. It went against this old country boy's teaching. I wouldn't bow down to that fella's picture. I ended up down at the dean of students' office and told him I'm not going to bow to that fella's picture. We worked it out. I just say, howdy. That's about it. I don't know why I threw that in. Charles Haddon Spurgeon was on a preaching trip one time, and he began worrying about his family and about his children, and said that he came home early from his meeting, and when he walked in, he heard his wife. He could hear his wife just in tears, loudly calling out the name of every one of their children. He just walked out the door and went back to his meeting. He knew that his kids were in good hands with that godly mama, bringing them up to God. Greatest calling. The greatest calling for any woman in this life is motherhood. Stewardship from God. See, they're his children too. Bible says your children are an heritage of the Lord. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Moses is placed in an ark, and Miriam goes over to the bulrushes and begins to look for him, knowing that Pharaoh's daughter comes there to bathe. This all looks like it's set up. And Pharaoh's daughter sends the servant to bring the baby in the ark to her, and she looks, and the baby's weeping, and it breaks Pharaoh's daughter's heart. And it appears that Miriam, as a young teenager, 12 or 13, that she was probably one of the maids for Pharaoh's daughter. And Miriam comes up and says, can I get you a nurse? Can I, ma'am, get you a nurse? And Pharaoh's daughter says, all right, bring her to me. And she said, I'll get you a nurse from one of the Hebrew women. And notice the passage in verse 9, and Pharaoh's daughter said to her, Jochebed, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. If you're a mother here today, one day God will give you your wages. Mm-mm. Man, I look around the room and I see some folks that I know how they're loving and nurturing and working with their children. Wow. God has given you stewardship. He gave you those children, and he says, you take these children and you nurse them for me. Ain't that quaint? Then God has given you stewardship, and God gave you every child that you have, and you are to nurse each one of your children for him. They are a heritage of the Lord. Then look at the promise. He says, I will give you thy wages. I will give thee thy wages. Now, Mom, you may have a lot of heartache in this life, but one day, no matter what you've gone through, no matter the craziness that you've gone through, God will give you your wages. We've had an addiction. We have an addiction program here, and I often think of the mamas, what these mamas have gone, had to go through with society and how easy it is to get those drugs off the street, and all that mamas have to go through with those wayward children. It's tough. It's a tough battle. How many tears, how many disappointments. But man, to see that child get right and get it back together, what joy. Joy cometh in the morning. Joy cometh in the morning. You may not get a whole lot. Hey, you may not get a whole lot of recognition down here. Your name may never be written down in some worldly book. Hey, Martin Luther King, everybody knows that name, a great preacher of the Reformation. His name is known all over the world, but as far as I know, Martin Luther's mother's name is not written in any history book. I read somewhere that she went hungry 4 days out of the week so that she could put Martin through the seminary. Nobody knows her name. Boy, God knows her name. John Wesley's mother was named Susanna, and she was a strong influence behind the Methodist movement. A lot of you, some folks here probably didn't know the name Jochebed until I mentioned it this morning. God knew Jochebed's name, and he was punching her clock for every godly deed she did, keeping track of her wages. That's what he does for you, mamas. He keeps track of your wages. The hand that rocks the cradle still rules the world. What a thing. Isn't that wonderful? I don't know who spoke those words, but they still ring true today. You bring up that child and nurture that child, the most important thing for a child to know that they're loved. I hate to see a child abused. I don't get it. I just don't get it. Throughout history, mothers have yielded more power and more influence than men will ever know. And the reason that I'm alive today is because of the endless prayers and a sea of tears by a weeping, praying, godly mother. Abraham Lincoln once said, "All that I am or ever hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." Speaking of his mother, Andrew Jackson. Andrew Jackson said there was never a woman like her. She was gentle as a dove and brave as a lioness. The memory of my mother and her teachings were, after all, the only capital I had to start life with. And on that capital, I have made my way. A fellow named John C. Abbott once said, "Mothers have as powerful an influence over the welfare of future generations as all other earthly causes combined." Thank you, mamas. One of my favorite psalms is Psalms 56 and verse 8. It says this. It reads, "Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book?" God says, "I will give thee thy wages for every tear that you've cried in a bottle. I'll put my tears in your bottle. And are they not written in thy book?" My. The sorrow and rejection probably of what Mary saw with Jesus just had to break her heart. First she saw his celebrity and all his good deeds, and then he saw her people, the nation of Israel, reject him, make fun of him, and eventually crucify him. Of Mary, the Bible says in Luke 2:34, "And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." As they pierced, a sword pierced the side of Jesus Christ, it pierced the heart of his mother Mary. Tears, mother, his foster on the altar of pain and sorrow and much weeping. Tears that a mother cries as a child goes to war. This generation has seen so many. My dad was shot in World War II, wounded in action in Luxembourg, the Korean War, Vietnam, Desert Storm, Afghanistan, Iraq. Man, it's been crazy. Tears when your child leaves home forever and marries, begins to raise children of their own. I remember when I was a little boy, I would have been about 9 years old. My brother Aubrey joined the Navy, 1958. And he and my Uncle Harley had just signed a record deal with King Starday Records. Had a song, Family Reunion, that's still in a lot of the songbooks, the old country songbooks. Aubrey joined the Navy, left that. And I remember standing out by that gravel road in front of our farmhouse. There is my mom. Saw my brother get ready to pull out of the driveway. And she wept and wept and wept. There's a fellow, I have a book of a poet by the name of Tramp Star. Anybody ever hear of Tramp Star? Tramp Star was from Moores Hill, Indiana, and he was a columnist for the Indianapolis Star way back in the day, around the 1940s, and he lived in Moores Hill, Indiana. And he wrote a book of poetry, and one that he wrote was about two plates. When you first get married, you've got two plates at the table, and then there becomes three, and then four, and then five, and sometimes six or seven plates at the table. And then they start to go down to six and to five, to four, to three. And there you are, late in life with just two plates in front of you. My mom hated to see her kids leave. Bible says in Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Don't say there might not be some years in between, but said, pray and he'll come back. He'll come back to God. But all those tears and mothers have cried. My mom was my nurse. She was a housekeeper, my teacher, my cook, my psychologist, my protector. She instructed me in the ways of righteousness from an old King James Bible. Proverbs 31:15, she riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and to her maidens. Proverbs 31:25, strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She opened her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Marvin Wood, the coach of the 1954 Milan Indians, that won the state championship, after all the hoopla in the movie Hoosiers, he wrote a book entitled A Boy, A Ball, and a Dream. And on the fly cover of that book, his acknowledgement was, first of all, I would like to thank my godly mother who brought me to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. My, my, my. I've told this story probably many times in here on Mother's Day, but I got to tell it again. Around the turn of the century, and the turn of the 20th century, there was a mother of three sons in Ames, Iowa. She had lost her husband during the Civil War, and she tried without success to provide for her sons, and they were just about to starve to death. Every day she just wept bitterly, didn't know what she was going to do about her boys, and she finally decided to send her sons to the soldiers' orphanage in Glenwood, Iowa. And as a man, one of the child reflected, said the wolf scratched at the cabin door. And finally, my mother said, boys, I'm going to send you to the soldiers' orphan home at Ames, Iowa. She said, he said we had to catch the train, and we went to a little hotel, and they came about 1 o'clock and said, get ready for the train. And I looked into mother's face, and her eyes were red and her hair disheveled. And I said, what's the matter, mother? At the time my brother and I slept, a mother had been praying. She went to the train. She put one arm about me and the other about my brother and sobbed as if her heart would break. And people walked by and looked at us. They didn't say a word. Why? They didn't know. And if they had known, they wouldn't have cared. Because mother knew. She knew that for years she wouldn't see her boys. She got onto the train and said, "Good." We got onto the train and said, goodbye, mother, as the train pulled out. And we reached Council Bluffs. It was cold, and we turned up our coats and shivered, and we saw the hotel and went and asked the woman for something to eat. She said, what's your name? He said, my name is William Sunday. That's my brother, Ed. Some of you may know this. Billy Sunday became one of the greatest preachers that this country has ever seen. First of all, he became a professional baseball player for the Chicago White Sox. And one afternoon and early evening, he was out on the town with his drinking buddies. And they walked down Van Buren Street in Chicago. He was considered the fastest man in baseball, the Chicago White Sox. But they're walking down the street, he and his drinking buddies. And the Pacific Garden Mission Choir was on the corner. And they were singing, where's my wandering boy tonight? And he began to sob as he thought of his mama and that little cabin back in Ames, Iowa. Where's my wandering boy? Where's my boy tonight? Billy turned his life over to Jesus Christ that night. He got saved and became one of the greatest evangelists that ever lived, leading thousands upon thousands to Jesus Christ. I remember one time we played up near Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, our band did, the boys from Indiana, and we had a local paper, a Pittsburgh paper, and as we're getting on our bus, I had one of the papers, and it showed, it looked reflected back to, I forget the year, 19, whatever it was, but said on this date in 19, whatever it was, Billy Sunday had 15,000 people at the train station to see him off following a revival meeting. There's a poem, Backward, Turn Backward, O Time in the Flight. Make me a child again just for tonight. Mother, come back from the echoless shore. Take me again into your heart as of yore. Into the old cradle I'm longing to creep. Rock me to sleep, Mother. Rock me to sleep. Revelation 7:17, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them into living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Revelation 21:4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. On heaven's bright shore, there be no more dying. You get to see your mama again. You say, well, preacher, will we know one another? Sure we will. We know that from the Mount of Transfiguration. Moses and Elijah with the Lord and the disciples recognized them and knew them. Another verse says, for many shall come from the north, south, east, and west and sit at the feet of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. It says, we shall know as we are known. Sure we'll know. I look forward to that day. Thank you, mamas. Thank you, godly mothers. If you're not a godly mother, you need to become a godly mother. I'm done. The altar's open. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ, maybe you've got a mama in heaven. The only way you're going to see that mother again is to trust Christ. Trust Christ. You'll see her again. I witnessed to an old guy up at Batesville Hospital one night, one afternoon. He was an everyday guy at the bar. Everyday guy at the Legion, you'd see him, big beer drinker, and he'd never said, didn't have much witness of God. And as I sit next to his bed, as he lay there dying on a hospital bed in a Batesville hospital, I brought up his mother's name, and I said, I knew his mother's name. I said, was she a believer? Was your mother a believer? And he began to weep and nod his head up and down. And before all was done, he bowed his head and asked Jesus Christ to save his soul. He wanted to see his mother again. You want to see your mother again? You better make sure that you've trusted Christ. The altar's open. As we sing, we're going to do some baptizing this morning.